Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody here today, and I do encourage you to come on Wednesday evenings, because sometimes Christians don't, hopefully not here, but a lot of times Christians don't really understand the importance of the Word of God and a proper foundation in their lives. And there's been many times when, shortly after I got born again, shortly after that, got baptized in the Holy Spirit and just started devouring the Word of God. And God sent me immediately to Charis Bible College with Andrew Womack. And a lot of the things that God was showing me during my own times of in the Word and just driving down the road. How many of you recognize that just driving down the road, God can speak to you truth? But you have to be listening. That's the problem. Some of you, I'm not coming against this, understand. But some of you needed to stop your praise and worship CDs sometimes. And just listen. See, Paul and them, they didn't have, and as much as I love Hillsong and all that, and all those different types of things, he didn't have that pumping his mind 24 hours a day, as good as that is. He took some time to listen and to meditate on what the Holy Spirit was wanting to say. And I am fully convinced that all of the praise and worship and all those things that we listen to is for preparation to hear God. That's really, I believe, what God wants for us. And so, how many of you have discovered that it was the Word of God that saved you? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, it says, "You are born again, not of corruptible, but of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." It was the Word of God that penetrated your heart that produced salvation. It wasn't the sinner's prayer that saved you. It's amazing, because I remember, I'm not picking on anyone, but the Baptists really loved the sinner's prayer. And so I'm sitting there, I'm born again, and if you come in contact with Baptists, at least in the USA, and it's kind of along everywhere else, but they want to know what kind of Christian you are. "So, brother, has anyone ever told you about Jesus?" "Oh, yes, I'm born again. I'm a child of God." "Oh, well, which church do you go to?" So you tell them, and anyway, they want to know, did you say the sinner's prayer? "Well, yeah, I think so. But did it have this phrase in it?" "Well, it had some of those. I'm not sure, but hey, brother, why don't we just say this prayer and make sure?" Now listen, folks, I'm not knocking them. Understand what I'm saying. But it's not the sinner's prayer that saved you. It's the Word of God, the gospel that penetrated your heart that saved you. Now, it might have caused you to pray like it did myself. But it wasn't the prayer that saved you. It was believing in the message of the gospel that saved you. And if it took the gospel, the message of the Word of God, penetrating your heart to produce the greatest miracle that will ever have happened in your life, then it takes the Word of God to produce everything else God promises. And that's where Christians are missing it. They want to go up to Pastor Steve and say, "Steve, Pastor, would you please pray for me?" And there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we want to take shortcuts, and there are no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. We want someone else to make us free by waving their hands over us and doing the sign of the cross, if you're into that. That's not going to free you. It's the Word of God working in your heart that's going to set you free. And that's why Wednesday night is going to be so powerful. You need to come. And if you can't come for whatever reason, at least I believe they're going to have them up on the website. Download them. And I'm going to get copies of them, and I'll put them up on my website in case. I'm going to do that anyway. But brothers and sisters, it is absolutely paramount that we have God's Word planted in our heart. I'm not going to talk about that. I'll talk about that when I talk about the Word, because we're going to talk about the Word during that series. But the Word is a seed. And prayer is like water. And so many people are watering without putting seed in the ground. And they wonder why they're getting no harvest. Let's move on. But that's some good stuff. That might have been a nugget for some of you. You've been praying and praying and praying and wonder why things aren't changing. And now you recognize it's because you hadn't had the Word working in your heart in that area. This is not condemnation. This is freedom. Jesus said, and the truth that you know, didn't say truth. Truth's there. Truth is truth. Whether or not you know it or whether or not you believe it, truth is truth. How many of you know the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness. And with the mouth one confesses unto salvation. And so when you confess Jesus as Lord, was not when Jesus became Lord, that was when it became Lord for you. So truth is truth. I'm going to go over here. Truth is truth. But it's the truth that you know. And it's not talking about, oh, Brother Bill got up and preached, so I know that piece of truth. That's on my repertoire now. It's now on my shelf. I'm not talking about that kind of knowing. We're talking about an intimate interaction. And how many of you know, those of you who are old enough, I'm not going to talk about this in detail, but when there's an intimate knowing in the marriage relationship, it produces fruit. I have three proofs of that. You guys are understanding this. But it produces fruit, a knowledge. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore a son. That wasn't talking about, so what's your name? My name is Eve. I thought you knew that. You gave me this name. What is wrong with you, Adam? Where were you born? Adam, another dumb question. What is it you like to do? Have you lost your mind? You know all these things. That wasn't the knowledge it's talking about. It's talking about intimate interaction. And when there's an intimate interaction with God and His Word, and it cannot be apart from the Holy Spirit, there is no intimate interaction with God's Word without the Holy Spirit. All that is knowledge, and it puffs you up. But when there's an intimate interaction between your heart and the Word of God, fruit is automatically a result. Now, it may not be in the outside where you can see it, but there's something that's been impregnated on the inside. And it may not be 9 months, if you know what I'm saying. But you are pregnant long before you see the fruit in the natural realm. And you are as good as the answer at the moment of conception, even though you can't see it. Amen. So that's why some people that get encouraged with the Word, they don't see results absolutely immediately, and they think nothing happened. That's a lie from the devil. That's why you need to be here on Wednesday nights. Because you're going to get some good word here. I know it. I'm not bragging. I just know. Because it's the Word going forth. Not me. The Word. I've learned a long time ago, it doesn't matter what Sean says. It matters what the Bible says. It matters what God says. And I know that the Word's going to be going forth. So if you aren't convinced, I don't know what to say. You need to come? Bring friends. Bring family. Bring the lost. They're going to like what they hear. And that's what I'm talking about today. How many of you were here Sunday night, last Sunday night? I preached a message on inheritance. I didn't finish it. And I'm not going to finish it today per se. I'm going to hit another angle of it. But you need to download that teaching. Because as Christians, we need to know that if we're in Christ, we have to know what our inheritance is. We have to know what it is we're supposed to be pursuing. Because many Christians are pursuing all the wrong things. And even sometimes they're pursuing the right things, but it may not be for the right reasons. And so briefly, just to rehash a little bit, the Bible says that we are joint heirs with Christ. Now, how many of you know Jesus could care less about a Mercedes-Benz? He doesn't drive one. That's not your inheritance. Now, maybe you want a Mercedes. Maybe you're in the position to have a Mercedes and drive one. But that's not your inheritance. So we have to remember what our inheritance is. The Bible tells us that Jesus in Psalm chapter 2, it tells us in Psalm chapter 2 that it explains what the inheritance is, and Jesus, it's a messianic chapter, is talking about what Jesus would accomplish. It's pointing to Christ, and the Bible says in Psalm chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "Ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance." So it is people that's our inheritance. Not stuff. Stuff is only a tool to get the inheritance. This building is not the inheritance of this church. And sad to say, many churches go about their building as if that's their inheritance. This building is only a tool to get your inheritance. And so we have to align ourselves with the truth of what our inheritance is for us to start to walk in joy, and peace and all those things. Jesus said, "My joy I give to you, not as the world gives, because the world can take it away, but this joy I give to you, the world can't take away." And we're going to start looking at that. But how many of you ever reached out beside yourself You stop looking to yourself and you stop thinking about yourself and all that you want and all that you can do, and you actually got out of yourself and reached out to someone else. How many of you ever done that? At least once in your life. Wasn't there joy that flooded your heart? Why? Because you're starting to walk in your inheritance. And that was the joy of the Lord. How many of you have read that verse that says the joy of the Lord is your strength? Not joy. The joy of the Lord. God's own joy in your hearts is your strength. So when we're allowing God to flow through us to bring in His inheritance, and since we're joint heirs with Him, it's our inheritance. That's when we are full of joy, because it's God's joy in us. And here's the thing. God does not use us. He flows through us when we willingly yield to Him. Otherwise, the world would have been reached a long time ago. So many people are singing those songs and praying those prayers. Oh God, use me. Oh God, take complete control. How many of you have discovered He hasn't done it yet? There's that one song, I don't want to make fun of it, but I hated it. And now I know why. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We are in Your presence. Fill us with Your power. Well, number one, you're already filled with His power. Unbelief. Live inside of me. He already lives inside of you. Another unbelief. And then it keeps going. It says, Counselor and Comforter, take complete control. And people are crying. God, when are You going to take control? Never. Wasting your time believing something that will never happen. God doesn't take control of your life. Otherwise, He'd never given us a will. He flows through you as a willing vessel. That's why there's joy when you finally let Him do through you what He wants to do. There's joy because you've come into union, and that intimacy is flowing through you. I remember one time, this is a true story. I was preaching in Russia in our Bible school. And if you're not a preacher, you may not understand this. But there are some times when you're preaching that you feel the Holy Spirit revving the engines. And we're not telling the truth. Telling the truth. You feel the Holy Spirit revving the engines. It's like, you know it's about to get in gear. You can feel it. You feel it. The people are drawing. You're like, and you know this is not me. This is the gift. And every time I would start to rev the engine, so to speak. It's not literal. I'm just using this as an analogy, obviously. My interpreter, he was one of these mild type of non-emotional gut types. He would back it down. I'd rev it up, and he'd rev it down. I'd go forward, he'd go backward. Almost like saying, pal, I'm not going there. I don't care how excited you get, I'm going to be as dull and boring as ever. Now, I love this guy. He changed. And it was the Word of God that changed him. But folks, I remember saying to myself while I was preaching, God, I want to go, and this guy's holding me back. And God said, now you know how I feel. How many of you ever had God doing those ouch moments that never felt so good? When God does that, it feels good. I don't know how. God can blast you, but there's love and grace and everything surrounding it, so it doesn't hurt. It's like, wow, you know what? I have been hindering you, haven't I, God? But whereas a human can say the same thing and it hurts your feelings. I don't know how to explain it, other than that God is just absolute love. So we need to know what our inheritance is. And part of our inheritance, there's quite a few things we can go through things, but one of them is reaching people. And everything you do, even if you're not called to be a full-time minister, per se, preaching-wise, you're still called to be involved in reaching and acquiring the inheritance in whatever capacity. I don't want to go there again. You can download the message. But we looked at Isaiah 42, and Isaiah 42, it says very clearly that God said that He was giving Jesus as a covenant to the people, to the Gentiles. But we never see Jesus going to the Gentiles. So how is Jesus going to receive His inheritance when Jesus was on the earth, He never went to the Gentiles? Through us. That's how. And so we have to start understanding some things. So if we're going to start to see us reach the inheritance, and it's our inheritance, we have to know quite a few things. First and foremost, we have to have the right message for ourselves and for others. I mean, I don't know how many times People approach you, talking about as a lost person, and they're, "Don't you want to be a Christian?" No. Leave me alone. No. Looks like you were baptized in vinegar. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of, before you got born again, God left you alone. But now that you're born again, God's whipping you. Before you got born again, God left your money alone. But now that you get born again, if you don't tithe, man, your cars are going to break down. You're going to get sick. If you don't tithe, God will take it out in doctor bills. All those kind of things. Folks, God didn't save you to collect taxes. And we're going to learn about that during this time. Because I firmly believe that when believers grab a hold of this truth and they see the freedom they have and they understand new covenant giving, they'll do it. But let's turn to John chapter 20 and we'll get into what I believe the Lord wants me to share this morning. John chapter 20, because we have to have the right message, and I'm going to give some examples. I believe I have told 30, right? Half. I'm going to give some examples because it's amazing when you have the right message, the fruit that is born. Whereas before the right message, you struggle and struggle and struggle trying to bear fruit and you never bear fruit. But with the right message, fruit just is born and you're sitting there going, wow, how easy. John chapter 20. How many of you like reading your Bible? I do. But you know what? If you just read your Bible as if you're reading a story, you're going to miss a whole lot. It's not a story. It has stories in it. But the Bible's not a storybook. It's a revelation book. It's a Holy Spirit book. It's a book of seeds, incorruptible seeds. Sorry, I had a little sweetie in the mouth there. John chapter 20. Let's look at verse 19. This is after Jesus died. He was buried. And he rose again. How many of you know that after Jesus rose again, it was a major change in the history of humanity? A major, major change. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, a lot of people have the opinion that the apostles were born again because they were his disciples. The answer is no. They were only being prepared to believe because they walked with him for 3 years. Because you cannot be born again. If you go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 through 10, it says that you must believe that he died and that he rose from the dead. Hello? Jesus had not died and had not risen from the dead until this point. So until this point, those disciples could not have been born again. That's how come. And whenever Jesus talked about his death, they said, no, no, Jesus. Far be it from us. We will not allow this to happen. And what did Jesus say? This is of the devil. Because this is what needs to happen. Unless a kernel of wheat, a kernel of corn, falls into the earth and dies, it abides alone. But if it falls into the earth and dies, it bears much fruit. And he said this signifying his death. So in Romans, John chapter 20, verse 19, this is the first time that his disciples know that Jesus is alive. They know he died at this point. But this is the first time that they know that he lives. This is very important, folks, because you need to see what Jesus said. He never said this until this point. That's what I'm trying to come across. Notice what Jesus says. Verse 19 says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Now, sometimes we just think it's because they were scared. It says so, because of fear of the Jews. That's not what Jesus was saying. To get a full understanding of this, we have to go back further and take a look at what was proclaimed at the conception of Jesus. When Jesus says, peace be with you, he wasn't saying peace. In other words, be happy. He was saying, sin is dealt with. There's now peace between the Father and you because of me. Peace with you. That could not be before now. See, before Jesus rose from the dead, there was still a chance he was just a man full of bull. That's what the Bible says in Romans 1. I didn't make that up. He was proven to be holy and the Son of God by the power of the resurrection. See, if I'd go around saying I'm Christ, And whoever believes in me will not die, will not perish, but have everlasting life. And I die and I don't raise from the dead. He was a liar. Many people have said they're the way. They're still in the ground. How many of you heard of Sai Baba? He's still in the ground. He'd know he's burned probably by now. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be rude, crude, or anything like that. But folks, many Christs have come saying they're the one. They're still dead. Jesus rose from the dead because he's the only one. Jesus said, I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end. What does that mean? He's the first incarnation and the last incarnation. He's the beginning and the end. There were no Christ before him. There were no incarnations of God before him. There were none after him. Everything else is a lie. And until you can embrace that, you will never follow after Christ the way you need to. Because, by the way, there's many paths. No, they're not. Well, that's arrogant. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. That's narrow-minded. I agree. Jesus said, for narrow is the way. I see you're a narrow-minded believer too. I want everyone to say, I'm narrow-minded, and be proud of it. Because Jesus is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Folks, we're not talking about being arrogant, but you have to preach the truth. Jesus is the only way to forgiveness. He's the only way to relationship with God. He's the only way for healing. He's the only way for these things. And when we start doing that with a message of grace and peace, we'll start seeing fruit and we'll start seeing people healed. I'm telling you, God is so ready to start moving. Are you ready? We have to be ready. It's not God. It's like what Pastor was saying. God's accelerating things. He's not accelerating anything. This is what he's always been wanting. We are accelerating because now we're believing. Wow. I remember when I first got born again, I saw all kind of miracles happen. And we still saw miracles happen. But I didn't see them to the same degree. And now, of course, for the past few years, we've been seeing a lot happen again. Why? I got rid of all those little seeds of doubt. Seeds of why it can't happen. Why? I haven't done enough. Maybe I'm lacking. You're right. You are lacking. That's why God didn't say for you to do it. He said he'll do it through you. Next time those thoughts come, I'm lacking. Disagree with them. Thank God for Jesus. That lie and the deception and the devil, they can't argue that. Thank you, Jesus. This person can be healed because I'm not healing them. Jesus is. It's not my power. It's not my ability. It's Christ. Wow, getting late. John chapter 19, peace be with you. Verse 20, when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So he said to them again, peace to you. Now this word peace in the Greek, I don't know the exact how to say it, isene or something like that. It doesn't matter. But it means tranquility. It means to be removed from the ravages of war. It means prosperity, healing. So we have to understand that when he's saying this. It says, peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. You know what a missionary is? A sent one. Every single one of you, if you're born again, you've been sent. Sent to something. So you're all missionaries. Just depends on where in God's earth he has you. See, I'm not American. I'm sorry to blow your mind. I'm a child of God. This brother, are you from Zulu background according to the flesh? Is that you? He's not a Zulu. Sorry if it offends you. He's a child of God. We're all new creatures. There's neither male nor female, slave nor free, Jew nor Greek. You're either a new creation in a new kingdom, new citizenship, or you're not. And so when God looks at the world, he doesn't see Zulu Christians and American Christians and this and English Christians and those Christians, and he leaves you. No, he says, they're all my people. The world belongs to me. I'm sorry, but the world does not belong to the different people groups. It belongs to God. And when God says, I want you somewhere, he's not checking out who you are in the flesh when he wants to send you there. You have to think about this, because sometimes you'll say, but I can't go there. That's the devil. Oh, but I've been told so many times, people won't listen to Americans. Well, don't tell me, because they've been listening to me for years. And they love me. You know why? Because I preach the Word. I'm not preaching an American gospel. I'm preaching the gospel. When I come to stand before you, I'm not standing before you as an American believer. I don't care about that. I'm standing before you as a child of God. And you're a child of God. I don't care what accent you have, what skin color you have, where you're from. If you are a child of God, you're qualified. And if God wants to send you to preach the gospel to the Queen of England, He's not going to check who you are in the flesh first. Matter of fact, God says He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Maybe that's why God uses me. Truly. Now look at verse 22. He already said peace to you, did He not? And now He said, because of this peace, I'm now sending you. As the Father sent me, I'm now sending you the same calling. Woo! Man, I don't know about you, but I'm so excited I could jump out my skin. The same calling Christ has, you have, apart from the cross. Obviously, that's done. But Jesus was saying, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Sin's dealt with. No wonder so many Christians are miserable. They're trying to deal with their own sin. It's already been dealt with. Now, there's so much to teach. I don't even want to go there, but I'm not talking about ignoring your faults. I'm talking about don't focus on them. Because Jesus dealt with it. And if you'll believe that, you'll start seeing freedom in those areas. Amen. It's true. But Jesus said, as the Father sent me, now I send you. So what does that mean? He was sent to be a light to the Gentiles. Guess who's that talking about now? Us! Christ is in us! And wherever we go, Christ goes. And Jesus is always ready to touch someone. Whether it be at the supermarket at Checkers. Let me tell you, how many of you ever met rude people in stores? Did you know that's a perfect example to demonstrate peace? You know why they're mean? Because they're miserable. They're unhappy. They need the truth. They need the gospel. I'm trying to remember that. Because sometimes we forget. But look at verse 22. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. What was that? They got born again. They breathed. He breathed into their dead spirit. The life of God. How many of you, when you got born again, you felt different on the inside? Not on the outside. You may still look the same, but you felt different on the inside. When you got born again, God blew the Holy Spirit inside of you. That's how you came alive on the inside. Well, I'm running out of time. I have to continue this next time. But folks, peace is that sin and the separation from God between God and man has been dealt with once and for all through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Before the death of Christ, there was a veil in the Holy of Holies in the earthly tabernacle. But when Jesus died, it was torn in two from top to bottom. Who did that? God did. He said the veil and the separation is over. How many of you know that little scripture there which talks about the shepherds? I can't remember how many were there, maybe three or whatever it was. But there were shepherds, and the angels appeared to the shepherds, and they said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It's talking about because of Jesus, there's going to be peace between God and man. The removal of the ravages of war. God is not dealing with us according to our sins. He's dealing with us according to what Christ did. And some people say that's just too good. I just don't know because wrong is still wrong. Didn't say it wasn't. I'm saying, but how God deals with it has changed. And if we grab a hold of this truth, someone who's still struggling with sin is someone who's not walking in revelation. That's all. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 5 because the Bible says in Matthew 1:21, and he shall... Matthew 1:21 says real quick, she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. When you couple that with peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and when Jesus said, peace be with you, peace to you, he's talking about sin being done and dealt with because of what he did. And because of this, now go. As I was sent, now I'm sending you because now you have the right message. Let's go over to Romans chapter 5 real quick. We'll finish here. But Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, And I wanted to go to so many other scriptures. But how many of you remember the lady with the issue of blood? And Jesus, she touched the hem of his garment. And he said he perceived and he felt. He perceived. That means in his spirit. He perceived virtue and power flowed out of him. He said, "Who touched me?" And he found out who it was. She was scared. She was trembling. Why? Because an issue of blood meant you were unclean. Actually, they taught that God was mad at you. And that is why you had this sickness. Because no sickness can be in your body without sin, because of your personal sin. How many of you have heard that before? But what did Jesus say to her? He said, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." Same word. Another place, there was a woman. He went to the prophet's house. And this woman, who was a known sinner, came in. And she washed his feet with tears and dried it with her hair. And the guy said, "If this man was a prophet, he'd know what type of woman this was. She's a sinner." And Jesus said, "Let me ask you a question." And he tells a story about someone who's perceived to be forgiven more and another one who's perceived to be forgiven less. He said, "Which one loves more?" And he said, "Well, I guess the one who was forgiven more." And Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven you." He pointed to the woman. And the guy said, "Who is this who can forgive sins?" And Jesus turned right around and told the lady, "Go in peace." Are you seeing the picture here? Peace is a result of sin being dealt with. And it was only dealt with at the cross. And let's finish on Romans chapter 5. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." There's no peace anywhere else. But you have to believe it in order to appropriate it. That's why he said, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." Because you believe, your sins are dealt with. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want to go there. I'll keep teaching. Let's go to verse 2. "Therefore, having been justified by faith," verse 1, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." So, folks, we have peace with God because of Jesus Christ. Our peace is through and in Him, no other place. That's why Jesus said, "Peace be with you." I don't know if you've noticed this. I don't have time to go there, but go to every single salutation in Paul's writings, and he says the same thing. And he didn't have cut and paste back then. How many of you ever cut and paste an email and forgot you left the other person's name in it? He didn't have cut and paste, but he said, "Grace first, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ." Why? Without grace, what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ, we put our faith in what grace God has done through grace. And so we now have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give us one little testimony. I know I'm going over about 5 minutes here, but I really have to give this testimony. We went to this one apartment complex, one of these government apartment complexes. And we just went there and we just started sharing the gospel of peace. And it was in Chatsworth area, so all the people in that apartment complex were Indian. And so we went there and we started preaching this gospel of peace. And she was sick and all these people were sick. And come to find out, she had gone to church for many years, wasn't going no more. And the sickness, so we had to deal with the issue of this gospel of peace. You have peace with God through what Christ did, not because you've gone to church and paid your tithes. So she stopped going to church because, well, she felt like it's hopeless. And she's sick because she's a sinner. So we had to preach the truth, the gospel. Jesus already paid the price for your sin. He already healed you 2,000 years ago. It has nothing to do with whether or not you've gone to church or whether or not you paid your tithes. And we got her to believe the truth of the gospel. And guess what? She got instantly healed. Then there was a Hindu man in the apartment. A Hindu man in the flat. He heard us preaching the gospel of peace that Jesus already died for your sins. So we prayed for him and he got healed. And then he said, "I want to receive Jesus." Now some of you say, "No, wait a minute, brother. He had to receive Christ first." Well, don't tell Jesus that. Jesus healed him and he wasn't even a believer yet. Then he received Jesus. And I don't know the whole thing about the Hindu faith, but he was wearing some sort of a band around his arm. And you know what this guy did? We started noticing in this little bitty apartment, people started coming in and coming in and coming in. What's going on? This guy was out there saying, come in here to get salvation. Come in here to get salvation. Now think about that. There would be some religious people upset that God healed on the Sabbath. But every single person that came in that listened to the message and they believed it, they got healed without exception. Lady was in a bad car accident, had hurt some ribs. I can't remember what she was. She was in all kind of wraps. We prayed for, there were so many things. She drives a UPS truck. There were so many things wrong with her. We prayed for one thing at a time. Each of them got healed. She was crying, bawling, couldn't believe how awesome God is. One lady had fractured her leg, could hardly walk. She received the message. We prayed for her. God healed her leg. She was jumping on that one leg, crying. Folks, the gospel of peace brings fruit. And we're just sitting back, Lisa and myself saying, you know, we couldn't do this if we tried to. It was the message that did it. God will make you look good if you have the right word. Because it's the word that produces. Amen. So you guys have to come on Wednesday to get more. Amen? God bless you guys. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus.